So, welcome everyone to Yeshua's Blessing on this beautiful February 26th day of the year 2012. I find it so exciting to be part of this year and to see what is around every new corner. And it's really amazing how each one of us find our discoveries in different ways according to the season of life we're in, whether we're beginning our life, nearing the end of our life, or in one of those up phases of joyous discovery, or one of those challenging phases where we're at our wit's end to figure out how to solve a problem. We're all, everyone comes to Yeshua's altar, each in their own way. And there's no single one of us that has the same desire or issue or goal or need for receiving. And yet we all need to receive and be replenished by the blessings of God. I was remembering my beautiful organic garden when I had the vineyard. And I remember how some of the plants thrived a little more than others, but they all needed the rain. And after the rains would come, the ones that weren't doing so well would perk up and they'd get, they would thrive and they would get ready for their season of abundance. And then the others, having given off their crops, would start looking wilty. And I would think, you know, it's all just a cycle of life. But still, we all are here to receive the blessings of God and know that everything that's happening to us is in our own right timing. I was speaking with a friend of mine from India yesterday, and we were discussing the differences in our standards of achievement between India and the United States, and probably that applies to most of the Western industrialized world, is that we base our accomplishments on competitive success and service to others, some combination of that. Whether we're teachers or engineers or counselors or bus drivers or service personnel, it doesn't matter what our job is. We really kind of base our success on how far did we get up the ladder. In other words, how did we stack up in the competitive game, and how much service did we provide for others? And I think that's pretty true across the board. And he said, you know, in India, we base our sense of success on personal fulfillment. How happy are we? How healthy are we? How satisfied are we with our life? And then, from that, how much do we have to overflow to give to the lives of others? In other words, we think that we cannot give to others by first depleting ourselves. We must be filled with the Spirit of God in order to give to others. And I said, well, how do you think we would reconcile your beliefs with the teachings of Yeshua that I represent? And he said, well, I think the most perfect scripture that you would find from your Christ is, and it's not that he actually adores Yeshua, but he considers him more a teacher, having come from a different religious tradition than ours. And he said, the scripture I really enjoy the most is, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and then all these other things will be given to you. And he said, don't you think that's where we come together in a common unity? And I said, you know, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And he said, in my experience, everybody is really seeking the kingdom of heaven. It's just some people are pretty misguided in the way they look for it. Some people are looking poet up there in the clouds like a fantasy kingdom, and some people think they'll get it by earning more money. But Yeshua said, you look for it in yourself. And he said, now, in what you teach people how to be all they are and be connected with the teachings of Yeshua and connected with life and with God and with all the energetic structure and organization of the universe. He said, we just say, be happy. And anyway, this was just a little tiny vignette from a much longer conversation. But I thought you might enjoy some comparative viewpoints that ultimately came down to the same conclusion. And that conclusion is, be happy. And find that happiness within, regardless of what is going on outside. And that brings me to back to something I find that periodically I need to remind everybody who comes to the blessing as you pray your prayer. And that was the difficulty Yeshua had in teaching people how to pray. It's something he was very, very reluctant to do because he knew that most of the time when people prayed, they prayed because they were hurting, they were in pain, they were in lack, they were in grief or in some other form of fear or suffering or depletion. And all of their attention was on the problem. And he taught, I know that he taught his apostles this because of that of his teaching, will seek first the kingdom of heaven. Then all these other things that you want will be given to you. And that's reflected in the Lord's Prayer, the prayer he taught them, whereas it begins with our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And then the praise and the gratitude and the request for safekeeping and the request for forgiveness. And then give us our daily bread. And so, you see, he taught us to pray from, first of all, embracing our union with God, then embracing our faith in the abundance of God's creation and everything around us through expressions of gratitude, and to express our joy no matter what. This is like the widow's mite. She only had the tiniest little thing to give, but Yeshua took it and multiplied it because she had gratitude and a sense of charity even with the tiniest thing that she had. And then he would give the parables about from even the tiniest seed, as tiny as a mustard seed, this great tree can grow. So he told us not to diminish our life because what we have now may be small, or we have a sense of lack, or because we're hurting or in fear. To first pray from our faith in the abundance. And then from that, it's like we've put fertilizer on the seed. And from that, all the blessings spring. And so I like to bring to the blessing, and all of our blessing givers do this. We bring the abundance of God's love, the abundance of the universe, the abundance of the Holy Spirit, and the love of Yeshua in our heart, guiding us always through a never-ending light to be with our life in the best possible way. And through that, then, the answers come which solve our problems, which heal our wounds, which replenish our needs and our emptiness and bring forth all those things that we look for. So I just actually kind of wanted to open with that as a verbal blessing for all that you're seeking, to just know that the kingdom of heaven is within you, but you won't discover it from focusing always on your pain, your hurt, your fear, and your lack. And it's from the kingdom of heaven that you are replenished. So we still pray for you and with you for all you hurt and all you want and all you need. And we join you in that because we too have shared whatever you're experiencing. All of us have experienced in a similar manner to some measure, because we are all in this one boat called life. And as citizens of the human family, we have all experienced what you experience, and we give our heart, our love, and our hopes to you. And we offer our compassion as that level of understanding. Now, I'd love to take some questions, and I see that Nate is on the line. So, Nathaniel, you're cleared and on.
Hi. Wonderful opening, Glenda. Thank you. That still resonates with what I have to share. I just had to jump on that. I have such wonderful news, really. God's so great for all of us, and sometimes it takes going through, moving through the storm, and we think everything is still wrong or sad, and really, in hindsight, we start to see the meanings of our jobs we've had, what brought us into realizations and relationships that seemed when they end so hard, and you go through life and you start to have some better understanding, or not even understanding, just presence, present moment awareness and gratitude for the journey. And then God loves us so much, he wants us to be happy because that's our natural state. And I've been praying a lot. I've been doing my blessings before I go to bed, and I've really noticed the change in me when I do the blessing before I go to bed, and for others, and the Christ Blessing Board on Facebook, and which is amazing. Like 9 people joined this week. It's really cool to see that. People asking for help on something, and I'm offering that. I know other people are, and I was like, I need work. I'm almost out of unemployment for a year. And I really need a miracle. And lo and behold, I got hired full-time at New Renaissance Bookstore and Event Center here in Portland, which is the mecca of New Thought Spiritual Center, where, you know, everyone knows New Renaissance.
And that is so great. I'm so happy for you, and congratulations. And
thank you.
You are such a perfect living example of exactly what I'm saying. Is that the need was there, but you celebrated what you had. You cultivated what you had, and then exactly when you needed that job and that replenishment, it was there in abundance, and you're going to do so much good work there.
Absolutely. I look forward to tell people about Love That End There and essential oils, and I'm just so excited to help people. And I just noticed, you know, what the difference is, Glenda, is the feeling now in my body is, I am so happy I get to go to a place that's just fun to work. It doesn't pay great, but it's fun. And that's what life is, too short. You've got to have fun.
Yeah.
And I want to bring that to all areas, thrive in all areas of my life. And I'm really willing now to surrender, accept what is, move forward, and give thanks to God.
That is so great.
The blessings we give for each other and receive really do work. They really do work.
Yes, it does work, I can tell you. And so can hundreds of thousands of other people who have proven the teachings of Yeshua. They work, but it does require having just enough. He said if you have just as much faith as a mustard seed, it can work. You don't have to have a lot of faith, just enough to get started. So thanks so much for sharing, Nathaniel. And we have another caller on the line from area code 312. And again, congratulations, Nate. I plan to write you about that, too. Okay. Our caller from area code 312 is on.
Hi, my name is Phyllis, and I was listening. Can you hear me?
I can.
I was listening to what Nate said, and I once read a definition of abundance, which says that abundance is getting what you need when you need it. And what he said so magnified that definition for me. So
absolutely. That's terrific. Yes, I love that. And I guess by that standard, I have to say I'm just about the richest girl in the world.
Amen.
Even though I have very little money in the bank. There has never been a need that has not been supplied.
Yeah.
With the best.
It's about.
Exactly. And learning to do that. Actually, this is why Yeshua sent all of his apostles out to the world with only a knapsack on their back and sandals on their feet. Because if they were going to do the work he set them out to do, they had to be living that principle of faith.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
So thank you so much for sharing. That's a great little cap off on what Nate said. We have someone else from area code 802, and you are on.
Hi, Glenda. This is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi. I'm at the Dartmouth-Hitchcock Hospital where my stepmother has taken a turn for the worst. She got very sick last week, and so I'm just calling to, there's a lot of families here, and a lot of families, especially in ICU, and making hard decisions, like my family just did, and keep us in your prayers.
We will. We will. And thank you for letting us know about that.
Thank you.
And for asking. It makes a difference to ask. So thank you, Debbie, very much. And I see that Sharon is on the line. Hi, Sharon.
Hi. It's so nice to be here. I was amazed at your message just now because I was giving a talk to the women, the wives of the Masons. A friend had asked me to do that last night, and they're from every religious group, but they all, to belong, they all have to believe in a higher power. And I usually just channel a message when I give my talk, and the message was, try to start each day asking to realize the totality of God's love for you. And that just seemed to be in line with your statement of you start your relationship, starts with your relationship with God. And then the second message to them was, and then once you've nourished yourself and you've loved yourself so dearly, then give others the overflow. And that was the second message you gave.
That's exactly right. And in that place of doing it, we don't share with others our doubts and our pain. We're giving them the overflow. And while we're talking about that, I want to repeat what I've said before, and that is that there is a ripple effect, a resonant energy effect for each one of you receiving the blessing, because you will change the whole energetic field of everyone you meet and everyone you talk with and you're around for sometimes as for hours at least, if not days. And some people, from the time they received their first blessing, they said their life has never been the same because everything around them began to change bit by bit, and it's because people just relate to them differently. And so we actually see all of that really in the progressions of the Lord's Prayer, where it begins with our union with God, our praise for the holiness of our Creator and our desire that our Creator's kingdom come and will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, let heaven come to earth, please. Let me see heaven in earth. Let the kingdom of heaven be in earth. As Yeshua said, don't look for heaven here, there, or somewhere else. It's in you. It's in you. It's here to be discovered in your very being. And actually, we're just starting a new online course, which is called The Bridge Between Heaven and Earth. And it's dedicated to the proposition that heaven has been here all along, but we have not been living in it. And we want to find out why we haven't been and how we can be and what that bridge is and what our misconceptions have been. The primary misconception is that as we became rational, well, I'm not saying that primitive man, very primitive man, was not rational in their own way, but I would say for the most part, primitive man seems to have been more intuitive. They seem to have had more responses from the autonomic nervous system, like instinctive responses about weather and the availability of water and primal instincts. It was more of an instinctual sense, and that's not to say they were not superbly intelligent in a different way. But there came a time when humanity opted for the more rational form of knowledge, which is comparative knowledge, hot, cold, up, down. And comparative knowledge always is, to some degree, dualistic, because that's what allows for the comparison. And I think there's no accident that the tree of knowledge was a pivotal point reported in the book of Genesis. Now, personally, I believe that that is a metaphorical description of an actual event. The reason it's told metaphorically is the event probably occurred to many people over a long period of time during a transition, a transitional phase in human consciousness where we moved from a very primal tribal existence into a more urban, a more organized existence that required perhaps more deliberate exchanges between people, the cultivation of more specific abilities, and the foundations of what we would call modern, quote-unquote, civilization, which I sometimes wonder, is it really? But nevertheless, it's what we have. And that knowledge was that comparative knowledge, which actually is very much at the heart of the scientific procedure even today, although science, the most advanced scientists are beginning to rethink those procedures because they're realizing that we are limited by our the nature of our instrumentation and the nature of our measurements and observations, which is absolutely true. We are locked into those. We cannot go beyond them. Well, there was a time, I truly believe, when we existed outside the box. We were really connected to the energetic matrix of life. We could intuit whether a plant was beneficial or harmful. We could intuit where the source of food and life was, where we were supposed to be, where we would move and belong. And it was a very connected kind of world. But I'm not saying that this transitional phase we went into was not also necessary, because it seems that all phases of human experience have been necessary. Without this phase of what we call knowledge, we would have not accumulated many, many facts about nature, many scientific procedures, many industrial and manufacturing abilities, and many constructive facilities that we have for supporting our life. But in the process of all of that, to get to the point of why I believe we separated heaven and earth is because as we went into this world, we began to isolate the material world from the spiritual world. And we saw the spiritual world on one side of the ledger book, and we built religions to explain where is God and what is our relationship to God. And then on the other side of the ledger book, we have all of these material things, ranging from how big is my home to how much money do I need to support my life to how what are my abilities and how can I be of service to others and how do I fit into society and what is my place in it. All of these material considerations over on one side of the ledger book, all of the spiritual considerations over on the other side, and we lost our ability to connect the two. Now we're at a point where if we break through into the higher level of understanding we need, not only for our spiritual and human fulfillment, but also for our life and physical fulfillment, we are going to have to accept the fact that there is a continuous energetic matrix that unites us with all of life and with one another and creates a community, an energetic community. We really are not just protoplasmic beings. We're not just spiritual beings. We are so big. There are so many factors involved in who we are and describing all that we are. If, in fact, we were created in the image of God, can you imagine how big we really are? How many factors really are involved in our constitution? And we've boiled it all down to two. We boiled it only down to two things, and those two things don't even connect. Well, no wonder we can't put two and two together. We can't even put one and one together. Because there are so many missing pieces of who we are, how big we are, and what are the missing pieces, and how can we use them for building heaven on earth, and at least until heaven comes to earth, a brighter, healthier life, and a more functional, proactive, connected, loving, charitable community of man. So, this is what we're dedicating the year 2012 to doing. And our first major course is starting on March the 11th. I have not sent out a specific promotion for it yet, but I did mention it in our newsletter for Friday. And you can refer back to that if you're very interested, because this course will fill up very fast. We had an overflow in both of the preceding courses, The Energy of Life and A Better Life. Now, those two courses are very important as background information, but they're not prerequisites for this, and you will not be left out. We will not be over your head if you didn't take those courses. I'll make sure that everything I bring in will have a complete, easy-to-understand explanation. But you'll still probably want to go back and take those two courses now that they're archived online. Everything that we began shortly before the beginning of 2012 is an amazing unfolding for what will happen in this year. I used a little analogy that sort of fits my mind right now where I am. I was comparing the fact that right now we're at the jumping off point into a whole new frontier, which reminded me of the American settlers going to St. Joseph, Missouri, loading their wagon trains and then heading off into the wild unknown to settle the rest of this continent. And so I compared the first two courses as being arriving at St. Joseph, rounding up the wagons and buying your gear and loading your gear on them. But now the bridge to heaven and earth is where we embark on the great pioneer trail. And so I hope that you will join us on this trail. Your life will be better than you ever thought it could be, and fuller and more complete in ways you never thought you could touch, where we can bring together, and the goal is to bring together our personal fulfillment with a sense of fulfillment in life, so that even the dichotomies that I experience between in my discussion with my Indian friend don't exist, because fulfillment is living not just both sides of the equation, but all the possibilities of all the equations that could be, making personal selections on what's important to each one of us, and having those selections available to us so that we can each live the life we want to live in the very best possible way. And so that's what we really truly offer with the blessing, is the grace of God, the love of God, made more directly available to you by giving you the antenna. See, as blessing givers, we kind of provide this special antenna that's tuned in to the human station of all the frequencies of the universe, just like on a radio, you move the dial around, and as you move it around, you tune into different stations. Well, we have our own human antennae, and the blessing givers provide a sharper signal for you, you might say, and then help to ground it for you. But Yeshua is here with you in your heart. The Holy Spirit is always with you. In every cell of your body, your heart, your soul, the Holy Spirit is never not with you. And the same is true of the Creator. But we, in our dualistic thinking, sometimes have trouble making that connection, because we see God as being somewhere else. And then we're kind of thinking of God as being the grand leader of all religions, most especially our favorite religion, and we don't want to be in a religious mode, so we don't think about God. And we've got to overcome that. We've got to realize that this is why I use the term creator, because it's not for lack of reverence or awe or respect for the almighty divinity of God. It's just that God has become so associated with religion. Whereas when we think of the Creator, we think of the one who loves us, our parent, the one from which we came, who always loves us and fills us and wants our inner happiness for us. So that's why I alternate terms and phrases for the divine, because we can't define, we cannot define the divine anyway. The divine defines us. So for lack of words, I choose different ones, hoping that I will touch something in each one of you that means something special. Now we just ask to be in that grace. And I would ask that you remove your shoes and socks and be seated with your back in a comfortably upright position, where you can receive the energy of heaven through the crown of your head. It will flow through your body, circle around in your heart, and then move down to the base of your spine, and then into your legs and down through the earth. It will join with the earth, with the whole grand energetic flow of gravity, these giant waves that move through all creation, and then return back to you, the gifts of the earth, moving up through your legs, back to your heart, and again encircling your heart and back through the top of your head. This will happen several times as you pray. I will say an invocation to Yeshua, and I would like you to pray your prayer for 3 minutes. Do not think. Put your mind on the park bench. Your mind can't deal with this. It's not big enough. And it will limit the possibilities. It will possibly even polarize or dualize the possibilities. So retire your mind. Tell it to take a nap. Be now in your heart. Be one with your heart. Be who you are, the love that you are. Dear Yeshua, we know that you are with each and every one on this call. We know that you are already with each and every one who is suffering, who needs your help, with their families who have decisions to make. We know that you're with each one who is experiencing some lack in life and is on the verge of losing faith, but you will give them strength to have that last grain of faith that will bring about the miracle. Thank you for your never-ending love and your strength, your courage to give to us to be in our faith regardless, and most of all, the happiness you bring us, the inner happiness that is sometimes unexplainable, even in the midst of sorrow or fear or hurt, that we manage to find that place of happiness. Thank you today for bringing the Holy Spirit through us in a more powerful way, that it may activate the healing and the replenishment of every part of our body, heart, soul, and being, and connecting us more directly with our loving Creator, who has always been with us, even though we had the perception of separation. We thank you for all these things you give us and express our love in return. Amen. the energy conveyance is complete. Now go and rest for at least 7 minutes. Don't think. Just rest and assimilate. Allow this energy to settle into every part of your body, heart, soul, and being. Know that you are loved. Be well. And know that God is with you. So long until next week.